right. I'm going to get you to make your way back to your seats from great chatter this morning. While you do that, let me say good morning to those of us who are online. Welcome to Colwood Church as well. It's great to have you on that platform. Good morning, everybody. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors here on this team. And I got to just tell you today, you made it, didn't you? I mean, you survived that hour loss of sleep. And I know many of us, we love that beauty sleep that we've got. So I just figured this morning it would be good. Turn to your neighbor. Just tell him you're the best looking person I've seen all day, even though you lost an hour of sleep, right? Like, let them know. Like, it's a good thing today. Now, in 2018, had the opportunity of being in Israel, and in northeast Israel, we were able to go to this place called the Golan Heights. Now, the Golan Heights separate Israel from Syria, and as we were driving along roads, we noticed that on their fences that there were these signs, and the signs indicated that there were landmines in the field behind the fences. And I got to tell you, there's a little piece of me that was like, stop the car, let's go play human Frogger. Let's see like how long I could last. But I knew I probably wouldn't survive, so I didn't do it. But when looking at those landmines, it reminded me of this idea of that they are there for a purpose. They are to communicate something to you. And really, it's this, keep out, keep away, do not come into my territory. It's really in many ways divisive rather than it is unifying to something. But landmines. And then it got me thinking a little bit further, like maybe you have not been to the Golan Heights like I have, but I want to propose to us today that you have gone through and have landmines that you've experienced in your lifetime anyway. And a couple of those landmines that I'm thinking about are really the conversations and the opinions that we hear from other people. Have you noticed those types of landmines in your life before? I just so happen to be married. And over the course of our years, I have been given some beautiful questions thrown my way. Things like this, how do I look today? I've been given other questions like, am I like my mother? And there are other questions where I've been asked like, what are you thinking right now? And I've got this internal dialogue going on right now. If I could pull out one of those little buttons, it would sound like this, abort, 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 abort. Like, get out of there, run as fast as you want. So Lisa can maybe press me with some questions. I'm like, do you not know the word of God? The word of God tells me in James 1:19, just be quiet. And all I'm doing is trying to practice that right now. But I think whether you are married or not, you have been asked these types of questions, and they're landmines. How you approach it, how you answer it, it really does matter. And let me prove it to you, actually, with some of the things that you have probably had to wrestle with in your life. How about the conversations on world leaders? Have you ever had a conversation around some of those things? What about political positions? Have you ever had those moments? How about this thing that we used to talk about a little while ago, but vaccines? Let's bring that back, right? But like everybody's got an opinion, but then you want to know one of the biggest conversations and opinions that people often bring to me is this thing right here in my hand called the Word of God, where we would rather take the Word of God and weaponize it to my position rather than understanding its truth and what God wants me to use it for properly. Landmines everywhere around us. And so today I want to kind of navigate some of the landmines that we are all recognizing right now. We've got in our minds, we know what we would say. And to do that, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 to 6, three verses, and then we're going to give you the theme verse for this series that we are in right now, and that's verse 13. But this is what it reads to us today. It says, I want you to make every effort to keep yourselves, what does it say? United in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace, for there is one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. And verse 13, which is our theme verse, it says, this will continue until we all come to such, what's the word? Unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and the complete standard of Christ. Will you pray with me one more time as we've read the word of the Lord? Father, thanks for this morning. And again, I love our emphasis this morning of you are a way maker. You are the one who wants to communicate again today to me and to us. And so over these next few moments, I ask that your voice would be heard. You would teach us about what you need in us. And that's it. And so, Jesus, I give you thanks for your presence. You're here. You're moving. Speak to us now through your word is what I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So this morning, I'd like to speak to us from the topic, unity in diversity. So we're in this new series through the month of March, and it's called Mature. And this idea is that the goal, as we have read, is to be mature in the Lord. In fact, this is the standard that he has for you and I, is that we grow in maturity. We all know that we're at different levels of maturity when it comes to this thing of following Jesus Christ, and that's okay, but the idea is to consistently keep growing in maturity. It's his standard. And specifically, though, we want to look at the topic of unity today. In fact, last week I finished the message with this idea around verse 3. It says, you got to make every effort to keep unity. And so we want to unpack that topic further. In fact, Ephesians 1-3, which is where we spent a majority of our year so far, is all about orthodoxy. It's about the doctrines. And now suddenly in this chapter, we were given the word therefore, and when we see the word therefore, we ask, what's it there for? And it helps us. And so now what we're navigating is this thing called orthopraxy. So we've talked about doctrine, we've talked about our knowledge, but now God is saying, what about your practice? What about doing this and showing people? And so we have shifted our attention now to, what does this look like when we come to topics such as these? And I made the admission to us last week as well, I think we're going to be uncomfortable with what these chapters are going to present to us. But let me ask you a question. How many of you are ready just for a comfortable Christian life? Right? Like this idea is God wants to stretch us and use us and speak to us. And I asked a question last week. I'm going to ask it again here today. But I'm asking it in the context of unity and unity alone. And it is this. Do you love Jesus, but choose not to do what he says? In unity. Let that sink in for a second. Do you love Jesus, but, you know, but that person over there, that position over here, and we don't want to do what he says. And so today we want to kind of investigate that, take a look at what it says. How many of you here have noticed how divisive the world is today? Have you noticed this? What are the types of things that are dividing our world today? I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Tell somebody beside you. Just don't say the Boston Bruins and the Vancouver Canucks, okay? So go ahead. What are the things that are divisive in this world today? Tell somebody right beside you. I mean, you've got suggestions and answers. I know that you do. So let somebody know around you. Okay, there's some murmur here. We kind of hear it. Let me ask you another question. Have you noticed ever how Christ followers add to the flame? Have you noticed these people who say they love Jesus have poured a little gasoline onto these divisive issues that are in our world? I mean, I've noticed with my studies that you can no longer disagree with somebody in this culture, which is absolute nonsense. There has to be a way for us to disagree with certain things and yet still love one another. I don't know if you've heard of this word before, but it's the word intolerance, or tolerant for that matter. And like, oh, you're so intolerant. And well, the reality is God has asked us to be tolerant as well. Or this idea of unity is really uniformity. Folks, let me just encourage you again today. Your positions do not have to be superimposed upon anybody. God says it's about unity, not uniformity. And so we have to look at this idea of unity. Now, last week I kind of showed you a linear growth pattern for us together. I'd like to show you another graph today. And my question for you is, what side of this line do you mostly fit onto in your life? Are you a grace person or are you a truth person? Now, what I mean by this is, like the grace people, we like to come in soft. It's like, I don't want to disrupt people. I don't want to step on people's toes. I'm going to believe that you will figure out all on your own because after all, isn't that what God is? He's the God of impossibility. So I don't need to say anything. I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to give you a lot of rope to do your thing, which is great. Then on the other hand, we've got people who really love truth. And really what truth is for a lot of people is they'd like to take that 2x4 and smack you over the head with it, right? They're going to let you know no matter what, this is, you know, what I can. And and should do with you. Now, again, I actually do think we all have a position here on this pattern as well. The question is are you a grace person or are you a truth person? Which side do you tend to lean on? This is important for us to know about ourselves. But let me show you as well the next picture, which actually shows it how it should be. In fact, in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, this man, Jesus, showed up onto this earth, and he was a man, and he was full of grace and truth. See, whereas in this world, we live in a grace or truth scenario, Jesus says, this is not an either or situation. This is a both and. He is the example of divisiveness in the world and how we are to approach that properly with him, full of grace and truth. In fact, Jesus tells us a few pages later in John chapter 17 that, guess what? This world is going to know who I am by our unity and love, yes. It's unity. He actually says that the indicator to this world, how we love, yes, but how we are unified actually matters to him. And so he paints these pictures. And last week in looking at our maturity together, I gave five indicators, spiritual markers of what maturity should look like for us, especially when it comes to the topic of unity. Let's refresh our minds with it, but you'll see that we are to be humble when it comes to unity. We are supposed to be gentle when it comes to unity. We are supposed to be patient. We are supposed to bring allowance for faults, which is tolerance. And we are supposed to bring love. These are the markers that our teacher today is giving to us all. And really the whole idea around this idea of unity now is to know that this is how we are supposed to approach unity. And now what we're going to look at this morning is what's at stake. Like, why do we have to be that, do that? What's at stake? Because we are here to protect one thing, apparently, according to our text today. And it is the subject and the topic of unity. This is what Jesus wants us to stand for. And he does it by proposing to us a number. I don't know if you caught it in the text that we read today, but it's one number. And I just gave you the answer. It's the number one. He gives us this list of essential truth that we cannot deviate away from. We cannot ignore. Like, this is it. This is our bond. This is our unity. Can we quickly just go through that list today just to get an idea again of what this is that we are to stand for when it comes to unity? And it starts that there is one body. Like, this is the body of Jesus Christ. I fully recognize today that there are many expressions of that for people, but there is one body. There is not two. There is not three. There's not four. It says how many? There's one body. And in fact, you may not agree with everybody in that body, and you actually may not even like everybody in that body. But nonetheless, Jesus still says there is one body. He goes on, there's one spirit. And this is important. This one spirit is the Holy Spirit. We have learned that in this culture, there are many spirits at play. This is a very spiritual world. Many spirits at play, but 1 John 4 verses 1 tells us that we are to test the spirits. So when divisiveness begins to rear its ugly head, the Word of God says, I want you to test it against the person of the Holy Spirit. And so we have this opportunity again today to know that there's just one spirit. There's one hope. And this one hope, folks, believe this or not, it's not your bank account. It's not even that relationship or that thing that you so greatly love, admire, and enjoy. The one hope is Jesus Christ, who has died, resurrected, and alive. He is the hope. He is the only hope. He is one hope. Paul goes on and he says, then there's this Lord thing. There's one Lord. The word Lord in this text is kurios. And often this term was applied to the Caesar, which, again, this is a Roman scenario here. So they would call Kyrios Caesar. Caesar is Lord. And yet Paul, who is sitting in a jail cell, is making a political and a spiritual statement at the same time, which is probably why he has landed himself in jail. He is saying that Caesar is not Lord because there is only one Lord. And guess what his name is? Jesus. Okay, so we've got that commonality. He goes on, there's one faith, Jesus Christ. Listen, there are not many paths that lead to God. If you believe that, that's wrong. It is nonsense because the Word of God indicates that Jesus is the only way in which you can be saved. Are people irritated with that? Yes, they are. But guess what, folks? This is what the Word of God communicates to us. There's one baptism. Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit who baptized him, and then the Holy Spirit baptism, which is applied to all of us when we come to faith in Christ and begin to grow in our maturity with him. The Holy Spirit is the power source for our lives, and it is through that baptism. And then he just says, there's one God and one Father, which speaks overall to the sovereignty of God, where he says that he is over all, he is in all, and he is living through all. These are the essentials that we have to be driven to when it comes to unity, yet we get completely unraveled with so many other topics of conversation and discussion. So the question becomes for us today, how do we live in unity with so much diversity? To which Daryl Johnson says this, first, we have to recognize that what binds us together in the new reality of God's kingdom is infinitely greater than anything that threatens to divide us. Let that sink in. What I've just read to us out of Ephesians 4, 3 to 6 is our bond. This is what we've got together. All this other stuff, although important in places, it doesn't compare to what we have in common together. And we have to focus there. Now, I don't know about you, but have you noticed that you have a problem and the person beside you has a problem from time to time and the things that are happening in our lives? There's a problem that I definitely notice in the church and as well in people who call themselves believers. And it is this, is that we begin to major on the minors and we minor on the majors when it comes to topics of conversation. Earl Palmer says this, none of what tends to divide the one body would ever have won us to Christ in the first place. See, what are the things that are a little bit more trivial, that have caused a little bit of conversational issue and tensions? Is that the thing that brought you to Jesus Christ? I can guarantee you that it's not. The idea is that there are some essentials that we must land on that brought us together to be a part of this one body. And that is what we need to look at today. The essentials when it comes to this faith thing is this, is that Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven, came to this earth. He died, but he rose again, and he is alive, and he is in a pursuit of you. Those are essentials. These other things become non-essentials, and we're going to investigate that today. Dr. Jerry Brashears will say this about this followership of Christ. Wise Christians know that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. They have a nose for significance and create a climate of unity around central issues, like we just read this morning, while moderating and directing discussion over secondary issues. They see how seemingly insignificant matters may undercut the central points of the gospel, even though they may appear benign, cultured, or loving. See, wise Christians understand that some issues, which may seem fundamental, are actually seeds of division planted by the enemy of our souls. So unity and diversity, how do we do this then? God is asking us unity, but man, we are so crazy on this earth with all of our opinions and our suggestions. How can we live in this world? And to which I really believe this is where we get back to. This is the maturity, linear growth pattern that God brings us back to. He wants us to grow in our maturity in this topic of unity. So over our last few minutes, I actually want to give us some practical help as to how do we live in unity when there's so much diversity. Using the lens of Scripture, I'm also going to apply it against different researchers and authors who are way smarter than me and who have done a whole lot more homework than me, but they have landed on what I'm going to present as four levels of certainty and discernment. For all of the issues moments ago that you talked about that are divisive, and what these people through the lens of the Word of God is going to help us differentiate what is essential and that which is controversial. Fair enough? So four areas. The first issue that I want to deal with us today is that these are going to be issues that you would die for. You have issues in your life that you would die for. And these are the essentials of faith that I want to draw our attention to. In fact, to deny these issues in our lives would demonstrate that we are outside of the boundaries of gospel orthodoxy, of the things that Jesus needs and desires, wants from us. And it may also propose that you are not living in a proper relationship with Jesus Christ if you deviate and navigate away from these essentials of faith. In fact, in Jude chapter 1, verses 3, it reads this: "Hey, dear friend, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else. I'm urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people." What we begin to see for in the die for section here, these are die for issues, they're essentials of faith. Let me give you a couple of them. This is not an exhaustive list, but I want you to see, like, these are the non-negotiables that bind us together, that these are the things we should die for when it comes to the topics at hand. Number one, the inspiration and the authority of the Word of God. Too many people today do not think that this is the authoritative Word of God. This is a great suggestion rather than a great command. We have an issue with that because this is the Word of God. This is what He communicates to us. Do we see eye to eye with all things all the time? No. And have I evolved in my own thinking over the Word of God of Maria's? Yes, I have. But the reality is that this is a non-essential. This is the authoritative Word of God. Somebody say amen to that if you believe that. We talk about things in the essentials, such as the Trinity. It is the three in one. It's the Godhead, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the person of the Holy Spirit. Our essentials are this: that Jesus Christ came to this earth because you and I, we were messed up, but he died a death on a cross, but he rose again and he lives, and forgiveness is given to anybody who actually wants to come to him. Words like justification, regeneration, crazy Christian words, but they mean that he is replenishing and doing something more in our lives. It's here in the essentials where we'll talk about the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit for you, the Holy Spirit for me. We could talk heaven and hell and so many other things. In fact, if you really want to know what we as a church believe, you can go to our webpage and see our essentials. These are the things we would die for. In fact, you could even go a little bit further because there's a link there that also shows you who we belong to as a church, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. And there you will see our SOET, which is our statement of essential truths. Like, these are things that we would die for. You have things that you would die for. What would they be? I'd be curious to have a conversation around that. The second category, though, that we can jump into today is this idea of divide for. Now, remember that people who affirm the essentials are seen as a Christ follower. They're a part of the story. Now, let me use a word that I told you to now ignore everything I've said to now say this. The word is however. However, there are other important issues that are so foundational to our lives that, believe this or not, we will divide fellowship over them. This is a real thing. And I think you know what I'm talking about with certain things. In fact, in Acts chapter 15, we see a story with Paul and Barnabas, and they come to this sharp disagreement together. And what happens at the end of that narrative is that they divide themselves. These are godly men, and they are actually promoting the gospel and teaching the gospel to the world for the first time. These godly men come to that type of a disagreement where they divide, and now they are going to lead different things. They still loved Jesus, yet there was changes that they needed to step into to see something happen. Now, how I would frame this divide for category is often we can look at it as issues that are outside of the walls of the church. It doesn't mean that they don't happen within ours, but let me explain, outside. Because in our modern day thinking, what we really can explore here when it comes to this divide for category is the denominational differences. And we all have them. In fact, you may be here today and you do not have PAOC, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, tattooed on your body. And that's okay. We're not asking you to do that, but you come from different faith backgrounds. And so you understand that there are denominational differences. I.e., just recently, I had somebody message me and said, "Pastor, you don't teach too enough when it comes to Calvinism." And I'm like, "Okay, you're right. That's not this church. Let me suggest this church, maybe in our city, that does that. The person loves Jesus. I love Jesus, but we ain't going to see eye to eye on that when it comes to something that is important." we look at the Pentecostal church often, and when it comes to the spirit baptism, the speaking of tongues, maybe this is foreign language to some, but this is a thing where other churches are like, don't know if I see that. And that's okay, we do. Like, and that's going to be all right. The way we approach child baptisms or dedications, we could talk about women in leadership. We could talk about Sunday morning church and your style of preference for Sunday morning church, whether it be liturgical or expositional or celebratory. We get divided on the mission of the church. Like, what are we all about? Is it supposed to be justice, or is it supposed to just love Jesus with how we sing? And then there's this other one that I know none of you get involved with, but it's this topic called politics, right? None of us get divided on this one, right? So like, but these are the types of things that people will divide for. Now, please hear me. Some divisions, which again are never the goal. Division is never the goal. But some divisions may be legitimate as long as overall unity is affirmed. That person who just sees differently than you denominationally, they still love Jesus. And we have to work through those moments together. But here's the deal. Here's another problem. It's because I've watched people who build their walls so high that they will not allow a conversation to be had. Or we have put ourselves into these different camps which will not hear the other voice anymore. Some of us, we like to go on witch hunts to try to find that person who is in disagreement with me. And not only that, some of us will go to our social media bursts to speak about the wrongs of other people. Last time I checked, we are still called to spiritual unity and still respect the important differences of other people. And just for fun, while you're here, let me ask you this. When's the last time you prayed for that person? Not that God would hit him over the head with a 2x4, but that he would love them the way you and I are also supposed to love them. So you may have the divide for going on in your life. The third one is the debate for. Now the debate for, this is a fun one. We're going to bring it back into the walls of the church for a moment. There are things that we will debate for, believe this or not. In fact, it's probably in many ways, it should be a healthy situation. Sometimes it's not a healthy situation, but it's the debate for. So what we would do here is we're going to talk about things like, for instance, what type of ministries do we do here in the church? Everybody's probably got an opinion, but listen, like if everybody's opinion was listened to and it was honored, then we're doing a million things but nothing good, and it's that type of thing. So there's leadership in play that says, that's a great idea, and we love, but we can't do this in the season. And learning the art of no is one of the most fantastic things that you could put into your life. You should definitely do it. But ministries, people want to know. In fact, things that people want to debate for, believe this or not, like people want to debate with me, like the age of the earth. Like, this is one of those things, and I'm like, who cares? Like, whether or not, like, it's 7-day literal or, like, million, it doesn't matter. Like, but we can have a conversation around it, but I'm not going to segregate you and cut you out of my life because you think that this thing is not literal. So we've got all these moments. I really wanted to wear my ripped jeans on stage because I know it irritates some of you. I'm not joking. I wanted to wear it. Because what we begin to do there is that what gets into these debate for issues is your stylistic expressions. They're still good. They're still valid. But just because I wear ripped jeans doesn't mean I still love Jesus any less than you. And that's an important thing, actually. I've watched that divide in people's lives for a really long time. Two of the expressions that I see that most operated in is that music that you play. Or that style of how you preach the word of God. Those are all things that we can debate on, but these are not things that should separate us. In fact, what I propose here is that we have to protect these debate fors from escalating into divide fors. We have to be better. And I will admit to you that keeping my focus on the essentials, even when wrestling through these debates occur, it's strenuous, it's tension-filled at times, but nonetheless, it's part of why we get to do this together. And let me suggest something to us in this debate for section. Don't silence debates
or don't try to smooth over them with wise and persuasive words. It just empowers divisive people all the more. So have conversations with people, but know that person is not your enemy. They just think different than you, and that is going to be okay. What we have to land on is what is an essential issue that we would die for, that we cannot disagree on, and then overhear what is a secondary issue. And we need wisdom and maturity in that story. Now, the last one, and then we'll get you out of here, is the decide for section. Now, Romans 14 and 15 give us an incredible narrative on issues related to belief and behaviors. So things like, what should you wear? What should you eat, maybe? There's this long list out of those chapters. You need to go read it. It's fantastic. But this is also what it says with all of those things. It also says, which there is no law on those things. So let me say, like, acceptance becomes important again, that tolerance for somebody else's faults. But acceptance and tolerance, like, these are virtues. You want to know what a real danger is? Legalism and getting lost in nonsense. So, i.e., like, it would be silly and foolish for me to go over to my Muslim friend's home with a pig on my back. It just would not be smart. Is there anything wrong with me eating bacon at home? No, actually there is not. But for me to take it over here is not helpful to the situation that's at play. And we all have these situations according to Romans 14 and 15. So we have to be really careful, but we have to decide, like, really, is this an issue that I am going to divide for? Is it really an essential, something that I would die for? But perhaps it's just a decide for, maybe I should just bite my tongue. And I know that's hard for a lot of people of faith, me included. But bite your tongue. Let it hurt. It'll be great for you. But this idea is this, is that divisive people, they latch onto lower level issues. And then they begin to raise them to foolish controversies, which Paul tells us is nonsense and foolish work. We have to be careful with these things that we want to discuss. Let me encourage us today, quit judging people over these issues and don't hold other people in contempt because they just differ from you in some of the thoughts. Our purpose here, according to Paul and to our Savior Jesus, is to urge us to accept one another. As Romans 14, 19 says, take a look. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church. And we have to learn to try to build one another up. We need to be better. But when I talk about this idea here today, please hear me. When I talk about this idea of accepting others, listen, this accepting attitude only applies to what? To the non-essentials. See, when it comes to essentials, the things that you would die for, do not deviate. They are our bond. One Father, one hope, one baptism, one faith. These are the things that we stand together unified in. And so we have to be diligent as we move forward. So I know many of us today, you're looking at your subjects. You're trying to figure out, where do I place them here? Now, how do I discern those categories? To which I would just say this. You have to come back to the centrality and the clarity of the Holy Word of God. This has to be the tell, not your opinion, because it could be wrong. But we get back to the Word of God because this is the differential for us. We have been instructed that we have to make every effort to keep ourselves united in peace. It is okay to walk together in disagreement. But once again, our how matters. And the how, humility, gentle, patient, allowance for other people's faults or mistakes, love. So let me ask you the question today. Right now, these days, what minor things are you trying to major in? Or vice versa, for that matter. So let's pray. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you will help us today to process that question. What are the things right now that is so minor, but I have elevated them to major status? I have placed them in categories that are not where they need to belong. I pray, Jesus, today that you will help us to be reminded that there are essentials of our faith. This is our bond. This is our unification. And even as it was given to us a little bit earlier, is that we first have so much more that binds us together than we do than which separates us. So help your church to be unified. Help the world to see Jesus Christ and who he is because we're unified and not trying to always convince or pull people into our camps. I pray that you will help us in this thinking because it can be countercultural. But it's your kingdom that matters, not the kingdom of this world. So today, Jesus, I give you thanks. You'll help us with these moments. Help us to relinquish the things that we have made major when they shouldn't even be there. And for that which is dividing us with other individuals today, may we get back to the heart of it all and how you approach people. And with all eyes closed and heads bowed, perhaps today you are here as well. You have never accepted Christ. I mean, this is our bond that he loves you, died for you, rose for you to give you hope and life. Perhaps you're in this room or you're online, and on the count of three, really the idea is you're saying, Sean, I'd like Jesus, that central figure of faith, to be my savior today. If that's you in this place, on the count of three, I'll get you to raise your hand, look me in the eye, and then you can stick your hand back down. If you're online, you're clicking that link. But perhaps today you'd want to accept Christ into your life. If that's you, let's try this out. One, two, three. Is there anybody in this space today who never accepted Christ and today you want to be there? So Father, I thank you that your word is truth and may we hold close to it today. I pray that as we walk into this week, you will encourage us again to know that we can walk in unity, even in the midst of diversity. Help us to have wisdom to know what category these issues fall into so that we don't make things more difficult than they need to be. Help us to stand on the things that bind us together in essential truth and give us a great week as we do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So a couple of things for you. Number one, if you're brand new to Colwood Church, welcome. Make sure you head to the Welcome Center today. Pastor Levi is there. In moments, we are also hosting First Steps Lunch. First Steps is this. Maybe you are new to our church and you're curious about who are you, what's going on. Come to lunch right now. You didn't have to sign up. You can come through these doors here. Or maybe you've been sitting in these seats a really long time and you're like, I need to get engaged. Come have lunch with us. Come and hear what we're all about and what we're doing. So church, I hope that you have a fantastic week getting your praxy back on. Let's go live in unity, in diversity. And we hope to see you at lunch if you can. Love you. Have a good week.